Wisconsin basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Welcome to the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tangway Along for the Ride podcast and Zoom. We are driven by Bet Online. Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. So check them out at Bet Online. Guys, let's get to work right now. We'll start with the Celtics and the Nets game this week. I don't think any of us are surprised because the Nets were undermanned that the Celtics won. But Bob, what amazed me was how they just absolutely mopped the floor with Brooklyn.
I was there.
Yeah. So just fill it, because to me, the statement isn't the win. The statement is, yes, the Nets had Kyrie and they didn't have Durant, but the statement was they just absolutely demolished them. Your thoughts?
You know, I hate it when my first reaction in the first period was, I hate this. I hate to start when you start like that because you know it can't continue. You say to yourself, you know it can't. But like suddenly it was, I remember it was 7-4, and then that's as close as they ever were. And then it was 21-4 after that. So anyway, so it's 46-16 in the first period, a 30-point spread and a one, ridiculous. They made threes.
Yes.
They made their first eight. You know?
What do we have? 26-54 of the game.
They made their first eight while the Nets were 1-12, I think. Kyrie was 0-7 to start on threes, you know? And so, you know, that. Now, what I took away, and we saw that. Once again, the importance of Robert Williams. Robert Williams had two early putbacks. He had another dunk on a feed. He that was hidden. Nobody mentioned it. Not going to be in the game story. You know, I'm telling you, it mattered, and it just reminds you of what his value is. So that was the other thing. And the other, Brogdon was terrific. And once again, you mentioned it, Garrett. The Nets didn't have Durant. They didn't have Simmons, and they didn't have T.J. Warren. And the Celtics pounded them. And you don't want to read too much into that. That game, it didn't tell us anything in the big picture. I'm still warning people, if the Nets are healthy in the playoffs, nobody's going to rub their hands with glee and say, oh, goody, goody, we're playing the Nets. I got news
right.
for it.
So that's getting straight. But what
I do – yeah, okay.
But what I took from it, Jeff, and Bob's right, is, you know, maybe I was looking for a silver lining or something, but the Celtics didn't mess around. Like, you know, it was, we got to take care of these guys and just, like, boom, yeah, get rid of them. Because we've seen the Celtics, God, they lost to Orlando, and I know they were undermanned. They, you know, Marcus Smart has been hurt, but, you know, they dropped games to Orlando. Miami, they didn't look great. So I just took it as a positive that they went out and they did the job they were supposed to do. Boom, boom, boom. That's it.
Yeah, that's very true. And the other guy I should cite is who played an excellent game is Derek White. And, he went to the hoop. He did his major threes. He played well. I mean, so many who didn't play well, right? You know, the other principal players, they all played well. That's why, you know, so that was fun. But when you're making threes like that, you know, it's the game. We all know that. That's the game. And they made them. And it was insurmountable. But you're right. They did take care of business. There were a couple of times I thought when they were up that there were a couple of sloppy possessions and they took a couple of you know, knee first shots, but they didn't. It didn't go very far. They you know, I took a picture. There was a timeout, and the score was 127-78, I think. And I wanted to see a 50-point spread, but just in case there wasn't one, I took a picture of the scoreboard at +49 for posterity. So and that turned out to be the peak spread, 49. I wanted to see them get up by 50. You don't see that too often.
How much do we think that, you know, some of the Celtics were even more motivated to run this thing up when it was kind of Kyrie by himself out there?
I would think so. You know, and by the way, he's the only Net that showed that any spunk in the game was Kyrie, frankly. You know,
how bad were they booing him last night?
Oh, it was moderate bad. Moderate. Not. Really? It was, yeah, it was there. Every time he touched the ball, to start the game, that was there. And when he went out, they cheered, you know, they booed the sarcastic cheers and all that. It was, but, you know, I don't know what, now that again, I was up in the halo. I didn't hear anything. I don't know what vile things were said, and there probably were, you know. Unfortunately, we have that element in our crowd. We can't deny it. Too many people say it. It's there, but I can't verify it because I was up in the halo.
Do we think the Celtics, see the Nets again in the postseason?
I could. Why not? I don't know the pairings yet. And I'm just telling you, if they're healthy, I'm sorry. And that's gonna, who isn't? Look, everybody, you start with every team if they're healthy, right? You know, Philadelphia. But remember, let's just go back to last year in the playoffs. Middleton didn't play. That was a very big bonus for the Celtics. So, you know, and if they go on the – anyway, we all know that. It was a fun night. If you bought a ticket and that was your one game and you wanted to see the Celtics, that was a fun night to see the Celtics.
Okay, but guys, let's face it. I think as the season progresses, and we all know that, Jeff, the big denominator is health, that it's Philly, Boston, Brooklyn, Milwaukee. And Milwaukee. Yeah. You know, Miami isn't there. Cleveland isn't there. Some of these teams that will show us something, they're not there. Those are the big four. And those, any if they're healthy, any four of those teams, in my opinion, could win the championship.
No,
I think so. I still don't know if, like, I count on Philly to win the championship. I don't – I mean, I just don't know. I'm not quite there yet.
I'm in on them if they're healthy. If they're right, I'm in on them. Because I'm in on them if they're right.
I just don't trust them, like, mentally more than anything. Am I crazy? I mean, James Harden's never won anything.
Yeah. No, I mean,
I don't know. Giannis is a winner. They've already done it, right? The Nets have had guys on their team that have already done it. I know there's a time when everybody does it for the first time.
Yeah.
But Philly's not even – you know, gotten there. Like, I don't know. I could see Philly maybe getting the Eastern Conference Finals, but I don't see them winning at all.
I don't want to mess with Embiid. I know that much.
I'm with you on that. I got real quick. Jeff, what do you think is going to be the final story for Simmons? At the end of the day, how do we look at him? Because I keep waiting for this. Oh, he's great at assists. He fits the mold perfectly. He'll dish the ball to the other two. And, like, are we going to be hearing that for the next 10 years?
We always thought it was going to be eventually Ben's going to start to shoot threes, right? Eventually, the right coach is going to get with him, the right player, and something's going to click where they're going to say, like, hey, Ben, if you're not playing unless you shoot threes. That's never going to happen. I've resigned myself to the fact that it's never going to happen. This is the Ben Simmons we're going to see. And unfortunately, if we see this Ben Simmons for the next 5-10 years, he's a good player, but he'll never be a great, great player.
It's not just he won't shoot threes. Sometimes he just won't shoot, period. I mean, get in there and turn around and fly, finger it out to the corner. Everybody does that. But he above all, he's going to go down in history right now for me. And I've said this before, because nothing's changed. He's the oddest player of consequence in my entire experience. And I would go so far as to say in the history of the NBA. He's the oddest, weirdest player of consequence because he has two great skills. He can see the floor and he can defend. But his unwillingness to become a normal offensive player at this stage of his professional career is perplexing and makes him the weirdest, oddest player of any consequence in the history of this league.
But, Jeff, he's regressed, hasn't he? Because in college he scored, right?
He did. He scored. He shot. I don't remember how many threes he took, but he took a few. And you just thought, again, and especially with the coaches he had, that's the part that really baffles me, is that Brett Brown and Doc Rivers, two coaches who are elite with people, not good, elite, like the best of the best, couldn't figure this kid out, couldn't figure him out. And, you know, if they couldn't, again, I'm not sure anybody can. He'll go down as an elite defender, an elite rebounder for his position, an elite passer. But if you can't score in this day and age in the NBA, you can't be.
Oh, and by the way, you got to get him off the floor in the last 2 minutes sure. He's shooting 44%, I think, last I heard from the line.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens in the playoffs, right? How do you hide him again? How do you do this?
That's why I said categorically, I wouldn't want him. You're not going to win with him.
All right, so the big news this week as we sneak over to the NFL has been Tom Brady. For the second time that he retired, and this seems to be the real deal. Personally, I think it is the right time for him. I think he recognizes that he can't do it alone anymore, that he can't bring a team to the next level. And, oh my God, he's 45 years old. Who could expect him to? I actually got emotional a little bit when I saw his His social media
post. He did this a year ago. Why would you get emotional? You went through this a year ago, Gary.
Oh, you're so tainted, Jeff. See, this is why you are so tainted. See, this is the thing about getting. This is the benefit of being laid off from the media. I'm a stay-at-home dad, and I do this because I like you to. Okay, that's the honest to God's truth. All right, and I've become more of a fan, and it's awesome. Maybe Bob can speak to this because he's retired. I mean, semi-retired. I mean, you're right, Jeff. I'm not tainted anymore. I mean, I look at the guy. I saw it. Look, here's the thing. He's the world's greatest football player. He's not the most perfect human being. They're not perfect. I mean, Tommy Heinsohn used to tell me this all the time.
I'm not saying that. Listen. I got to get this out.
Tommy Heinsohn used to tell me this all the time. He used to say, Gary, he goes, they're not perfect. He goes, they have bad days. Some are smart. Some are dumb. Some are emotional. Some are not. You know, they're like, he's not perfect. And you're right. So he's retired again. Like, so what? But this time I believe it. I believe it this time. You know what? And then I'll let you speak. You know why I believe it? Because I think he knows he can't do it anymore the way he wants to. Okay, folks, we're going to take a break from the fellas to tell you that BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from the Super Bowl to pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today, or you can use your mobile device and, like, even, you know, one of these. My kids make fun of my case. I like my case. So use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Okay, let's get back to the conversation with Bob and Jeff.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've covered Brady plenty over the years. I like Brady. Like, I'm not a Belichick guy at all. I respect him, but I don't like Bill Belichick. I like being around him. I don't. I don't enjoy it. I think he's an asshole to the media when you don't have to be. I think Brady's been brilliant with the media over the course of his career, and fair and honest and smart and all that. I just feel like we just did this. We just did it a year ago. I tweeted when he retired again. I said, can't we just rerun everything everybody said a year ago again?
I don't understand this attitude, frankly, Jeff, because I think that my reaction is, he said he's not going to do this a second time. There's no way. There is no way he's going to do this twice. And you know, he said he's done.
He's done it twice. No, what I'm saying is,
he's not going to do it again. He's done it once. And this is, I mean, he's unretired once. He's not doing that again. He's not. I take him at his word this time. That's all.
Yeah, I think Jeff does too. It's just we don't need to go through the pomp and circumstance again, which he said in his post.
Yeah, he did.
I'm not going to write a letter. Right. I'm just going to say it. I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, I would take that as his word, you know. So
of course, you know, NBA.com did this thing comparing Brady to LeBron. You know, when you talk about the title, I don't know if there's a comparison. I mean, Bob, who is the Tom Brady? To me, Tom Brady's the best football player in the history of the NFL. I know he's not the fastest. I know he didn't have the greatest arm. I know he's not Walter Payton or Jim Brown or Barry Sanders, but to me, he's the greatest player ever. Who is the Tom Brady of, you know, who would you compare him to in the NBA?
Well, I mean, the thing is that their careers overlap almost 100%. That's why it's an interesting comparison to me. It's because,
but again, LeBron was so physically gifted, Bob. I guess that
right. That's why the backup. All I'm saying is I'm not interested in dissecting this thing. I think the thing that the only reason it's worthy of discussion is that they overlap. That's all. Brady was essentially a rookie in 2000, essentially a rookie in 2001, and 2 years later comes an 18-year-old kid. And I mean, so they've had these 20 years of parallel careers, and one in football, one in basketball, and they're and a high level, and they're both being discussed in terms of being the GOAT in their respective sports, that's all. But I mean, who's better or what? I'm not going to get into that. That's it. It's crazy. There's no, you know, they both, the Brady's got more rings. Okay, fine. You know, that's fine. And that basis alone, you give them the edge. So And we all know that their progression of the, how they got to where they are was different. Remember what I tell you, LeBron turning point was losing in 11 and shying away from the ball and being too deferential and not recognizing that he's got to be the best player on the floor and take charge. And once he learned that, he started winning championships. Brady never had that problem. Brady didn't have that problem from day one.
Well, they also came up different, Bob, right? I mean, LeBron was anointed as the guy at 14 years old.
Cover of Sports Illustrated, it's a whole, he's a product of his times. He's the ultimate AAU pup right now, except that he's shed all the bad stuff that comes with it eventually. And he did get rid of it. Brady didn't have that problem. Brady had another interesting thing though. You know, his career at Michigan was certainly controversial at the time. And with the competition with Henson and everything else. And he comes in at the 199th pick in the draft, whereas LeBron comes in. One of the handful, by the way, this is another theory of mine, one of the handful, you don't need much more than the one hand, of players in the history of NBA basketball, of basketball, who were ultra hyped and lived up to it.
Right.
Most of the truly great players were better than they were thought they were going to be. Exhibit A, Bird, even Magic.
Michael.
And now, Michael, Exhibit A, right, because Michael was the third pick in the draft. You think if they thought that, you know, as good as Olajuwon and as logical as that pick was, you know, we all in retrospect, they would like to have a do-over. Who wouldn't, right? So, Michael. And the one other example for sure, well, there's two. One was Wilt Chamberlain when he was supposed to be, he's everything he was supposed to be coming out of Overbrook High School in Kansas. And two is Kareem. The ultimate, the greatest achiever, you know, the greatest basketball player ever in terms of the three levels, high school supremacy, college supremacy, and NBA dominance. He's number one for the overall basketball career in the history of the game because Russell was nobody in high school. Nobody. Barely recruited by San Francisco. Okay, so he doesn't get the high school thing. Kareem, this is one game. You know, when he lost the game, it was a national story. When they lost to DeMatha, everybody knew who he was if you knew anything about basketball. And then he goes to UCLA. He's the only three-time champion. You know, would have been four if he could have played as a freshman. We know that. So anyway, that's discussion. But I'm way going overboard here. The only way this Brady Bryant thing to me is interesting is that, oh, wow, they were parallel. Their careers overlap. That's all.
Bob, we love it when you go overboard. Jeff, to me, it's Jordan. You know, and I think you could speak to Jordan's high school career where he was cut. He didn't make varsity. And Jordan, like Brady, carried that chip on his shoulder forever. I think one of the elements that kind of hurt LeBron is he's a great player. Please do not take this as a criticism of LeBron. But LeBron, to Bob's point, was never disrespected. So I don't think he really had that chip on his shoulder. And I think Brady and I think Jordan had that chip on his shoulder because when they were on the field, I mean, when Jordan was on the floor, Jeff, not a nice guy. No. I mean, a killer. Brady was the same thing. Yeah. Brady on the field is not a nice guy because they felt disrespected to the end.
What about a little bit of a comparison to Steph Curry, who had a chip in his shoulder, right? Mm-hmm. Who wasn't told how great he was his whole career. And obviously, Steph's not going to go down as the GOAT, but he's the GOAT of all shooters.
No question.
And Steph was so cerebral as well. Like, Steph can see the
court. Like Brady.
Right. Brady's so smart. He didn't have the best arm in the world, the strongest, but it was so accurate. Steph's so accurate. There's some parallels there between him and Steph.
And the cerebral thing. I mean, the thing that Brady did that you're going to have to take my word for it because I don't know there may be documentation in print too from the time. I'm not sure. Okay. It's 20 years ago, but I immediately identified him as a pup from the Montana litter, that this was the style of quarterback he was, you know, and actually turned out to be Joe Montana to the max. That's what he was. He's not mobile. Was never mobile, but he had that sixth sense about where who was coming from behind him. He had extraordinary pocket presence. Yeah. Without being tremendously mobile, it's a rare gift.
You see that now when you watch Mac Jones even more, don't you?
Yeah,
How good his pocket presence is, because Mac has none.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, all right, guys, to wrap that up, Bob, I do want to get to, and then we're going to, Jeff is going to talk Booker in a minute, but you want to do your Damian Lillard.
I got to give you, first of all, let's say if he's not player of the month, they should just disband him.
Yeah, okay? No kidding.
I'm going to rattle off. This is since February, since January 14. You ready? 36, 40, 44, 25, 24, 37, 60, 30, 42, 42. That's for an average of 38 points a game, gentlemen, the last 10 games. This is one of the great shooting guard runs we have ever seen, what he's in. Now, it's being buried because they're not, the team is, you know, had a little flourish in it. But boy, is he playing extraordinary basketball. I just want to, you know, give him, and he's got to be player of the month, I mean, at the least. Anyway, that's all. That's all.
Jeff, we'll give you the stage with Booker. Now, he's coming back. The Suns right now sit in the eighth spot. There's a log jam there in that spot out in the West. They're nine out. Is he enough for the Suns to make a run?
I mean, I don't know. He's been out for more than a month with this groin injury. They're 8-11 without him. You know, they can certainly make a run and get into that, you know, I don't know. I think they're a game out of fifth place. So you can make up ground pretty quickly in the West right now. I just don't know. My bigger question is, does he come back at 100% from the groin strain? Number two, is Chris Paul past it?
That's
Paul past it.
Because we're not sure. Just, I was ready to write him off completely. Had a tremendous game a couple nights ago. Big game. Had an old-fashioned Chris Paul game, which I didn't expect to see at all this year anywhere. So I'm right on the verge of saying it's over for Chris Paul. Yeah. And he plays a game like that. I don't know how often he can
But that's the thing, Bob. That's the thing, is how many of those does he get, number one. Number two, when we started this pod, it's right, who's healthy? Well, Chris Paul's never healthy through the entire playoffs. We've seen this story over and over and over before.
And one of the recurrent things, you know, that I learned a long time ago about aging players is they may have these throwback games every now and then. Bird was like that the last year. He had, you know, and he was still good, but every once in a while he reminded you who he was, Larry Bird. But for the most part, it was not the same level that it had been, you know, in the years. But and there was a 40. He stuck a 46-point game in once on a Sunday, and then and Paul, that may have. Hey, maybe the game he played two nights ago, whatever it was, is going to be his pinnacle of the season. We don't know. He hasn't shown that it's in him to do it. So I don't think they're a factor.
The window closed.
Yeah, I don't think that. It's too bad.
It's a quick window. If that's the case. That was the shortest damn window we've ever seen.
Well, it is, but look how old Paul is. To me, that's the thing. You know what Bob says? I mean, if you when you have an older player like that, Jeff, come down, you got to win now, right? I mean, you got to be able to get it done in a year or two, kind of like the Celtics when they had KG, Ray, and Paul. I mean, look, they had to win. They had a 3-year window, and it's a good thing they won the first year.
Yeah, and Ayton's been good this year again, but when you have Ayton as your number one guy,
right,
the last 5 weeks, you're in trouble. Okay, now you get Booker back, but you're right. Like, and I love Bridges. Like, I think they got some good pieces, but ultimately, if your point guard is kind of a shell of himself, which Chris Paul's been for the most part for this season, and numbers notwithstanding, you know, to me, yeah, I find it hard to believe they're going to put any sort of consistency to be able to run through, you know, the West. And although, again, you look at the West and you're just like, who are you scared of?
Right. Ooh, right.
Why can't Phoenix beat them if Chris Paul is healthy? I think the West is going to be, you know, again, it's not great, but it's very, very interesting and intriguing when we get to the playoffs. You know, again, can Golden State go on a run? You know, the Lakers, I don't even know if they're going to be in the playoffs, but you know, Clippers, can we get healthy Kawhi consistently, you know, playing every game? Sacramento's been fun. I mean, they're the story we're not talking about enough.
Yeah, you're right. My guy had a huge game last night. You know my guy.
Oh, I know your guy.
My guy had a huge game. I said, by the way, okay, I think I would put Golden State as good as Chip. It's right here. I'm calling Golden State. right now in the West.
It's hard not.
Assuming, you know, once again, like everybody else, yeah, assuming the health.
They're healthy.
But they're the 69 Celtics, my friend, I'm telling you.
Right, right. That's a good call. As we wrap it up, Bob, I know you had some thoughts on the All-Star game.
Well,
February 9th, just to set it up, February 19th, of course, is the All-Star game, going to be in Utah. There, as we've mentioned before, there's different elements of the format where players are selected, combination of coaches, fans, starters have been picked. But at the end of the day, before the game, it's going to be playground, and they're going to go, I'll take you, I'll take you, I'll take you, which I think is going to be fun. But you had some thoughts, Bob, on the All-Star game.
Well, just that the evolution or devolution, if you will, of the All-Star game. It's
good
had
word,
its
Bob. Good word.
It's had its ups and downs. It started out, you know, in 1951 here in Boston, and the All-Stars were honored to be All-Stars. And in that first decade, they played that game. They played to win. And then right through the 60s, the games were played to win. They were proud to be in it. They wanted to play against the best. And then in the early 70s, it deteriorated. And there was an awful game in Chicago in 73. I think the score was, but they didn't even score 100. You know, it was terrible. And then it got better. And got by the 80s, I'm telling you, saw some great game. Overtime game in Seattle, like 87, was a tremendous game. It was hard fought. When Bird's first year, when he hit the first three in the history of the game, that was a tremendous game. And now this is, I could not possibly care less about. I'm not going to watch that game. I won't watch that game. I'm not going to watch it. Why waste my time watching a stupid Dunkarama and you know and 168, 164? No, I don't want to see that.
I'd rather watch the NFL Pro Bowlers play.
So it's too bad now. You know, now the All-Star Weekend thing, which began in '86, which was originally a great idea, and one more thought. All right, the dunk contest. After Spud Webb won it, they should have disbanded it.
Right.
Because who cares after that? And if they're going to do it, should be a height limit of 6'6". Why do we care if a 6'7", 10 guy or 7-footer can dunk? That's absolutely.
Sean Kemp was fun to watch dunk.
You know, the last interesting one was when our boy jumped over to Kia. Okay,
yeah, that Blake. Was Blake Griffin.
Yeah. But seriously, once Spud Webb won.
Imagine if you told the kid now, hey, that guy, Blake Griffin, that guy today jumped over a Kia. They'd be like, what?
How about the way he's now the pet, the fans' pet? He got off the bench and the crowd started roaring. And I kept thinking, he's got to be a good guy because the demeaning aspect of people rooting for him like he's that high school guy, the last guy on the team that never gets to play, and he gets in the game and everybody wants him to score when they're, you know, in the game.
We should get Blake on the pod.
He was that guy last night.
Get him on.
The crowd was they want him to be the cherry on the sundae in a game they're winning by 45. Wow. Not a lot of guys' egos could take that. I got to give him credit.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, Jeff, you know him very well, I assume. When you look at his Kia commercials, his sense of humor is off the charts. Yes. Yes. I mean, just the, you know, the stone face and
dry,
self-deprecating.
Dry. Yes.
So, I mean, Bob's right, but I'm not surprised he has that attitude based on what we've seen.
I'm impressed. I really am, because he's been to the mountaintop, you know, in the sense.
I love that signing. I think I told you guys before they signed him, I think we talked on the pod, and I said Blake Griffin is a guy they should go after, you know, because I think he'll be a good locker room guy for Tatum, for Jaylen, some of those guys. Not going to give you heavy minutes, but we saw it in the playoffs last year. To me, there was one play where he just dove. He came on, you know, hadn't played in probably weeks. They put him in the game, Nash did, and he dove on the floor and just the whole game. It was a hustle game. And I'm like, all right, if he's willing to do that, to me, Blake Griffin will be perfect for this team.
Go ahead, Bob.
Before we go, I want to give props to one other guy who is living up, doing exactly what he can and should do. Obviously knows who he is and is an asset on a certain level. And that's Luke Kornet. Luke Kornet is playing the role of backup center well in this team.
Yeah.
He's not a, you know, I'm just saying, I give him credit. He's absolutely a good fit, a good piece of the overall puzzle on this team. That's all.
Yeah. And my final note is back to Blake. You know, I think that I generally don't cheer for guys to get a ring, you know, like, oh, he's been around forever. I hope he gets a ring. But to me, it's like, look, you got to earn it. You know, you've had a great career. You made a ton of money, you know, so you didn't get a ring. So what? I kind of hope he gets a ring.
Yeah.
I kind of hope. That's fair.
Here for that, right?
Yeah, I kind of hope he gets a ring. Gentlemen, thank you very much as always. I just want to let some people know you can check out my movie podcast, which is not at the level of the Ryan Goodman Tanguy Along for the Ride Zoom yet, but we're getting there at CLNS and Screen Time on YouTube. Perfect. Gentlemen, talk to you later.
Okay, guys.